And we have with us right now E.G. Daly. You know her and you love her from the Rugrats, Tommy Pickles. And, of course, you know, you remember her from the Powerpuff Girls as Buttercup. I actually remember her from the Pee-wee Big Adventures, the movie Pee-wee's Big Adventure, was as she played Dottie. But I'll tell you what even reminded me even more of E.G. I've had her on the show a couple times. She's a wonderful guest and a very talented young lady. But I don't know if you saw her on The Voice last year. She did a version of Breathe and knocked out the judges. It was great. E.G., welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's a pleasure.
Awesome.
I need you to speak a little bit louder, though, because you're coming in really
loud. I said thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, great. Okay. Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you here. And I really was floored by that appearance on The Voice. Tell me a little bit about it.
Well, it was pretty much like an unexpected thing. Like, it wasn't something that I had been, like, I had watched The Voice. I had been watching it a lot, and I loved it. And I always, in the back of my head, thought, if I was on that show, I'd want to be on Team Blake. It's just a light thought that came through my head. But I wasn't pursuing that show. I was just doing music, and a wonderful woman that I've met, that I was doing this show called Balcony TV LA for her. I was hosting it. She had asked, she had come up to me and said, you know, I hope you don't get mad at me, but I got you an audition for The Voice. And I was so flattered that she went out of her way to do that for me that I was like, oh, wow. You know, first I was like, they're not going to put me on that show. But then she said, no, you totally qualify. You don't have a record deal with a label. You're, it's not about anything. It's not about your age or your, you know, so it's just about your voice, and, you know, your voice is, I really like your voice, so I was like, wow, you know, just, I'll do that. Yes, I'll totally go in on that. So I went on that audition, and I went in it for fun and for the, kind of the honor of somebody going out of their way to do that for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was just so flattered, you know, it just felt so sweet. And I went in, and I did well, and then I did well on the callbacks, and then the next thing you know, I was on that show. It was just, and chairs were turning. It was kind of like a dream.
It was cool. I you know what? The best thing for me, of course, was that I knew who was singing, and I guess the audience had been told too. But
yeah.
When I forgot who it was that kind of recognized you and asked you, "Why do I know you?" And it was because of the Pee-wee's Big Adventure, and that got
right.
Everything. That got everything all started, and then
yeah.
You did your Tommy Pickles.
And then that was sort of the beginning of, like, a lot of things coming together for me, like people finally getting, oh, that's that same woman who was Dottie, and oh, that's that same woman who does Tommy Pickles, and oh, here's the woman that sings. And it was sort of like all the facets of me came together on that one stage in front of, you know, 50 million or more people.
Right.
It was a pretty powerful moment.
Yeah, a good PR thing that you can't buy, that kind of publicity.
No.
I'm actually a very lucky guy. I have a bunch of your CDs here.
You know, I love that. Lucky guy.
A big fan.
Thank you.
But it's interesting what you've done, so many different things from, you know, I remember dance hits like Say It, which was number one on the dance charts, and you've done soundtracks like Scarface and My Sister's Keeper and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, you must be always working. Well, you don't take any time off too much, do you?
Well, you know, it's funny. It definitely looks like that. And, yes, I definitely do a lot of facets, you know, in the career. I like to tell everybody I'm one career with many tentacles because my arms are always out doing different things, anything artistic. But there seems to be time, you know, it's like there's a lot of things, like you get a movie and you do it a year earlier, you know what I mean? And it looks like you're working all the time because you have a movie out, you have a theme song on 2.5 Men, you have an episode of Friends airing, you have, cartoons all over the television. So it appears to be that I'm just everywhere at all times, which I kind of am. However, the work's done over time. You know, it's done over time periods.
Yeah, yeah. Now, are you still doing, are they still recording new Rugrats and Powerpuffs or stuff, or is that pretty much over now?
They're re-releasing a lot of the Rugrats, and they're probably going to do some specials again, maybe. So that's pretty exciting. There's this new thing where they're releasing some of the older shows again, all of the episodes.
Wow.
So that's great, which means they may do some specials again. And Powerpuff Girls, they are also re-releasing as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what's funny? When you talk about the Rugrats, my kids were, I mean, talking about huge Rugrats fans. They loved the Rugrats. So we used to sit together and watch the Rugrats all the time.
Awesome.
And one of the episodes, I interviewed the girl who played what was her name? The bad girl.
Angelica.
Angelica, yes.
Yeah.
I interviewed the person who did the voice of Angelica, I don't remember her name right now, but I had her say on the at the end of the show, you know, Lisa and Danny, you better be careful because, you know, this is Angelica and I'm going to come get you if you don't do what you're supposed to do for your dad. And I played that in my car for them, and they were behaved for about 2 or 3 days. It was great.
That's hilarious.
It was really good.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's pretty naughty.
Well, she was tough. So
yeah.
You know, she intimidated those kids, which was great. So yeah. What are you working on right now as we speak?
Oh, my gosh. Well, here it goes. So there's been so much stuff I've been in production on and planting seeds for the last few years, and it seems like all of it is coming out now. Like, I did a one-woman autobiographical musical that is very scandalous, funny, truthful. I do a lot of voices in it, and it's also sad, and, you know, it's also just very poignant. And I did that years ago, but we finally got that up on Amazon for digital download, which I'm super excited about. It's a really powerful show. So that's up on my website. There's a link to go right to that and get that on digital download. And then I also did a voiceover seminar, because I get a lot of emails from fans and people are interested in voiceover. So we went ahead and did I did it in a theater, and we filmed it, a voiceover seminar that has all the tips, tools, how-tos, a lot of specific stuff, information for people, so they can actually just digitally download it and get it in their own home. So that just came out recently on Amazon as well. So that's up on my website, too. There's a link that goes right to the button.
That's a great thing. A lot of people don't realize how great being a voiceover person is.
Oh, it's amazing. It's an amazing career. And the voiceover seminar gets a little deeper than just the practicalities of voiceover. It talks about agents and demos and a lot of stuff. But it also it also talks about my journey and some conceptions that or misconceptions and things that I learned along the way that are pretty powerful lessons for people. And so that's really cool. Same as the one-woman show. There's a very poignant ending, and they're very powerful pieces of work, you know, big bodies of my work. And so those two things are real exciting to have those out. And then I have a video that I released with a song on iTunes called Trying. It's a cover song of a Lifehouse song. And I just love that. It's such a really beautiful song, and I did a video, and that's out. There's a song called Somebody's Loving You that's current, pretty current, not as current as the Lifehouse song, but it's out. I'm working on a brand new dance record with Michael J, pop dance album. Michael J and I did the Summer School soundtrack song that was a big hit, Mind Over Matter, and he and I reconnected at a Grammy party, and we decided to make an album together, and so we're working on that. It's like 80% done.
Very
cool. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah. We have a bunch of emails here from folks, and maybe we want
to
answer some people's questions. We had someone named Judy wrote and wanted to know about your experience on the Friends show. She said that your appearance on there was one of the most memorable shows they ever did.
That's because it had Smelly Cat in it. I had to sing Smelly Cat. It was so memorable. And that's cool. Yeah, that was an amazing experience. Actually, the trivia about that was I was sitting at home, and I had just had a baby, and and I got a phone call from my agent. It was late at night, after work hours. And my agent said they needed to run over and audition for a guest star on Friends, because I guess they had hired someone and she wasn't the right person. And they had already had their first rehearsal and their second rehearsal with her, and they needed this person to be able to sing, play guitar, and conceivably be Phoebe's friend, good friend. So she had to be quirky. So I was like, really? Like, right now? I got to run over there? So I grabbed the baby in the bassinet, and I ran over to the studio, and this was like 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock at night, and I sang him a little something on guitar. I had the baby in the bassinet in one hand and the guitar case in the other, and I went in there and sang, and then they had me read the scene, and then right there they said, okay, you're booked, and I showed up on the set. And the coolest part about Friends for me was I was a huge fan of Robbie Benson from that movie Ice Castles. He's a great actor, and he was such a heartthrob for my generation that I was like, when I walked on the set, they said, okay, so here's your director, and I turned around, and it was Robbie Benson who was directing my episode, and I was so floored because I had such a crush on him. So that was like the most exciting part of Friends. And then, of course, getting to meet all the friends and getting to be on such an iconic show. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah.
I just lost one of my things that came out here. Isn't that great when I had the thing in front of me, that the email, and it just disappeared off the computer.
Oh.
Isn't that nice?
But that's okay.
Well, I know what it was. Someone actually, someone named Jim, who wanted to know a little bit about when you work with Paul Rubens, how you felt after the whole scandal happened, and if you're still in touch with him, and I understand he's on a comeback.
Yeah, well, when the scandal happened, I thought it was all very mean-spirited, the way they handled things, and, you know, he's a grown man, he's entitled to his own life, and he wasn't trying to be in anyone's face, and everyone has the right to their privacy, I feel, and I felt that people were cruel, and I thought the industry was being a little ridiculous, and, you know, I don't know, I was a little bothered, and I love Paul, he's my good friend, and we just recently did a big appearance at the Hollywood Cemetery for 4,500 people picnicking in this cemetery because they screened the Pee Wee movie there, and the fans went nuts, and the fans are so loyal today, and I'm just so grateful and glad for him because he's a really great guy, and he's super talented, and he's a genius writer, and he's got a new movie he's just done. So I think it was just a bummer at that time, and I'm sad that was happening.
And how mean people can be. I agree with everything you just said because he didn't hurt anybody at all.
No. It's not like he's running around at playgrounds trying to be inappropriate. No. Paul Rubens is very appropriate. He was in his privacy of his own life, yeah. You know, doing his own thing. We all have the right to that.
It was such a shame, though, that it put a halt to his career like that.
It did.
I'm really
and it
happy
wasn't,
that he's making a comeback.
But he's making a comeback, and he's doing great.
Yeah. Now, someone else here asked a question. They did not identify themselves, but it's an interesting question. I guess it's probably one you probably heard before. I've asked it before as well. But they want to know if there's any role that you have not played that you would love to play.
I'd like to be, I know it sounds crazy, that's a good question. What was their name?
They didn't leave a name on.
Okay. I'd like to, I know it sounds crazy, but I'd love to work with Adam Sandler. I just think the Adam Sandler movies are so funny, and I think he's hilarious. So I'd love to do something in an Adam Sandler movie, like play some kind of quirky leading lady. And I'd love to be in a Baz Luhrmann movie. Baz Luhrmann did... he's so genius. He's such a genius. He did the musical. Was it Mulan that he did?
Moulin
Rouge. I think it's Mulan. I just would love to. It's more so like projects I'd like to be involved in. As far as roles, yeah, I'd like to be in a role in a Baz Luhrmann musical. As far as characters, I just did a character in the Rob Zombie movie that was kind of a dream character. She was just out there and super badass and wild. And I guess I got to play one that I would have loved to play, and it's endless, the amount of characters that I'd love to play, you know, it's endless. I'd love to play, like, as his analyst, there's so many. So there's so many. It's hard to answer.
Well, I'll read you something that Joy wrote. There's someone named Joy that wrote that they loved your work in Babe. She thought that you were just incredible in that movie. She loves the movie. She said she watches it over and over again and loves what your work is at. And someone else actually, who is this? Gary wants to know if there's any more plans for any more Flintstones.
Good question. I don't know, but if they do, they'll probably call me up for it. So I don't know if they're planning any right now. But whenever they do some kind of Flintstone thing, like there was some commercial where they needed Pebbles and Bam Bam, and they called me for it. And so I guess, fortunately, hopefully, they'll call me, and if they do.
Bam Bam's a good character.
Yeah, he's a good one.
Yeah, it's, you know, I didn't realize until that person mentioned Babe how many movies that you did out there. A lot of them with, you know, animated movies like Happy Feet and Happy Feet 2 and stuff.
Yeah.
That, you know, a lot of people don't realize it. We talked a little bit about voiceovers, but it must be kind of strange. Sometimes you're in a studio by yourself where you're actually interacting with other people who are recording in another studio.
Yeah, that happens sometimes. Or your producers are in like another part of the state. You know, like they could be in, you could be doing a recording session, and then you're in a recording booth with an engineer, and then you're digitally patched over to Connecticut or Michigan, and you're doing a job, but you're there and you're here. And I have one show, Julius Jr., that I do, where the director is in Canada. And they have her on a TV screen in front of me, and I'm on a monitor in front of her. Huh. And we record, and we talk to each other through the monitor. Same thing with Happy Feet 1. George Miller was in Australia, and I was in Los Angeles for Happy Feet 1. And It was on a big sound stage, but he was on the screen, and I was in the studio. And then Happy Feet 2, they decided to fly me out to Australia. So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
People seem to think that it's just reading. But you have to emit the emotions. You have to do all this. You're acting. You really are acting. And it's not as easy as people think.
You're acting, and you're contorting your voice to sound like a child or some kind of character. So you really have to be a great actor because you have, I mean, the actors that are in voiceover are so talented. They can do so many different characters and so many different voices. So it requires a lot of ability, you know, ability to manipulate your voice.
Mm. Now, if folks want to go to your website, what would that be?
They would go to www.egdaily.com, EGDAILY.com. A lot of the links to a lot of the stuff is up there, upcoming shows. I am playing, headlining the Whiskey A Go-Go in Los Angeles on the 22nd of November, which will be awesome, and that info will be up soon.
What are you going to be doing there?
I'm going to be doing all my dance hits from the 80s, and I'm going to be doing title tracks from different albums that I've had over the years, and I'm going to be doing sneaky little fun jingles from maybe Smelly Cat and maybe a couple other things that are pretty iconic, and it's going to be a super fun show. I'm going to do some current songs. It's going to span decades. The material will span decades.
Can I ask that you record it so that all of us who can't get to L.A. can maybe rent it or something?
We'll try to film it. I'll try to get it filmed and put up on somewhere where people can see it, as it'll be a pretty fun show. And
it sounds
it's going to be super fun. Also, as far as social media, I'm at Real EG Daily. Guys, come and find me.
At EG Daily?
At Real EG Daily.
Oh, okay. Real EG Daily.
Yeah, because there was a bunch of fake fan sites, which are great, but I was also like, couldn't get my own name. But anyway, it's okay. I like Real EG Daily anyway. So at me, at Real EG Daily on Twitter.
Well, I am at MediaMan2009. So.
Well, there you go.
We'll be promoting this when it comes up on the web.
At MediaMan?
At MediaMan2009.
Great.
And so I'll be
And also, I've also got a Vine, which is real fun. I'm on Instagram at Real EG Daily. I'm on Facebook, EG Daily. So, yeah, come find me.
You are
there. That's all the links on my website, too.
Let me ask you a question. I'll ask you because I've had taught many celebrities on here who are on Twitter. Sometimes people can be really downright mean. Have you run into that, or are they pretty nice?
You're at Media Man 2009, right? So I'll
yeah.
make sure I get that right. There you are. I'm going to follow you right now, okay?
Thank you.
Sometimes you heard the question was sometimes people can be what?
They can be mean on Twitter, and they're anonymous for the most part, so.
I haven't had very many mean ones to myself, but I've seen it. And I don't really pay too much attention to the mean ones because I think it's just bad energy and it comes from their own bad energy. And I think that if you want good energy in your life, you don't want to spew out bad things around the planet. So I try not to pay too much attention to that. I just think it comes from people that are maybe having a rough time that you just put out good energy towards and hope that they feel better, you know?
Yeah, my whole feeling is that if it's something anonymous, I just don't even consider even looking at it.
Well, they're being anonymous. It means they're embarrassed to admit who they are, and that's sad.
Yeah, yeah.
If you got a real feeling about something, I'm all about sharing your real thoughts. If you don't feel good about something, be who you are and share it in your truth. But if you're going to hide who you are and say something mean, that's have a little more courage than that.
Are you politically involved at all?
Very politically involved in all animal rights things.
Wow.
Not as far as politics. I am very involved in all the animal abuse and the horrible animal abuse goes on in China, the no dog meat, the last chance for animals. I'm all about animal rights and treating everyone with kindness and humanity and trying to get all the animal abuse, trying to be a voice to help cease the horrible animal abuse that goes down. That really shouldn't be happening at this point in this decade.
We have a rescue dog who is abused, and he's the best thing we ever did. And I'm a big advocate for, preventing this kind of stuff and for clamping down on people who do those kind of things.
Yeah, it's so sad. I mean, I just sang it a putting for pups animal charity. It was loaded with amazing people and amazing VIP and celebrities. Everybody showed up, and I got to sing some really beautiful songs, which they're using for some of the PSAs now. Some of my ballads that I wrote for animals.
Excellent.
There's a song called Home. It's up on iTunes, and one called Earthlings. I'm not sure if that's up, but... and it's just, it's amazing when you see the videos of what happens to animals. It's so heartbreaking that it's hard not to want to do stuff for them. So I'm involved in that respect. Politics, you mean politics as far as the campaigns and all that?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm a Democrat, but I don't get real involved in politics, to be honest with you. I'd rather spend my time...
I get involved only when I think that it's something that's really, really bad for our country.
Of course. I mean, I vote, and I have opinions about things, but I definitely... I'm not running around. I used to. There was actually times when I used to go to, like, the Democratic parties, and I'd go to things with, like, some of the candidates even, but... I'm so busy, and honestly, I'd rather help the little animals with my time because they can't help themselves.
I'd
rather go there, you know.
I agree. Animals and children are, and seniors are people that I like to help.
And seniors, yeah.
But, in fact, when you go to Media Man 2009, you'll see the picture of myself with also my dog, Harry.
I love this picture of you. I'm on there right now. I'm following you, so that's fantastic.
Harry's the wonderful, most wonderful dog. He's a therapy dog now. He goes to nursing homes and stuff. He's giving
fantastic.
Back to the community. So.
That's fantastic.
Yeah,
yeah, please have all your fans. You have a lot of fans on here. Come in and follow me on Twitter. I post a lot of fun stuff. Yeah, I see you have some Obama stuff on here.
We'll do what we can do. And I'm a big fan, continue to
Thank
be
you
so,
so,
and
much,
I hope to have you on again
it.
At some point when something new is coming out that you want to promote.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. It's nice talking to you this
you
morning.
Too.
Where are you at? Where are you at?
I'm on Cape Cod in Massachusetts.
That's awesome.
It's a great place
to
be.
Have an awesome
Except in the winter.
That's so awesome, yeah, Cape Cod. I'm going to be in Rhode Island on November, I think, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, somewhere in there. It's on my website. I'm going to be doing an autograph signing at a convention, one of the cons or something.
Oh, really?
It's on my website. But if anybody's near there in Rhode Island, come say hi to me.
I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people around there.
So. Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
All right, well, it was good to talk to you.
Thanks, take care of yourself. Thanks for talking to you. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.